Welcome to the intersection of personal and professional development. This is Audio Motivation. Hi, folks. Welcome once again to Audio Motivation. I'm Andy O'Brien, and it's great to have you along today, especially when you consider who I have with me. He is the pit bull of personal development. I have been following him for a long time, been a big fan. Over the years, he's got 6 best-selling books. He's got a new one that just came out a couple months ago. Award-winning speaker. He's spoken to nearly 400 of the Fortune 500. And his name is just synonymous with the real deal. I mean, he's a breath of fresh air. He doesn't pull any punches. And hopefully he won't today. So, Larry Wingate, thank you and welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You know, you do audio motivation. I do audio irritation.
Awesome.
I'm the trademark. I've trademarked that. I'm the world's only irritational speaker. I don't believe I can motivate you from where you are to go anyplace. I'll guarantee you I can make you so irritated with where you are, you'll do anything to go someplace else, though.
Oh, good. So that's kind of – actually, it's funny you say that, because one of the things I really wanted to pick your brain about was entrepreneurs who are kind of stuck at a fork. You know, they're looking at a fork in the road. They're stuck in analysis paralysis, I guess you could say. And, you know, if you don't know what you want to do next with your business, do you think that's a case of just procrastination, or, you know – what do you attribute that to, and how do you get out of that?
Well, first of all, I attribute it to the fact they probably never should have become entrepreneurs to begin with. I really do believe that most of the people who become entrepreneurs should have stayed in their job. Now, I am the anti-entrepreneur guy because I know the statistics that say most of you are going to go out of business in the first 3 years, definitely the bulk of you by 5 years, and almost all of you by the time you get to 7 years. So most people ought to never become entrepreneurs. And I know that's discouraging to a show that appeals to entrepreneurs, but the facts are just the facts. And the facts are most people have no preparation to becoming a business owner. And that means they've never read a book on how to hire people, fire people, manage people. They don't know anything about leadership. They don't know anything about marketing and selling. They don't know about customer service. Very few can read a balance sheet. Even fewer than that have ever gone through any kind of market analysis to see whether there was a need for their product or a want for their product, which is even more important than the need. They've never done any of those kind of things. And so they have this stupid passion, which is the most ignorant driving force in business today, is passion. And somebody told them, usually their brother-in-law, that says, well, you ought to do that for a living, idiot. And then they go out and start their own business and then wonder why they get stuck and wonder why they're not successful. They never should have gone into business to begin with. They pretty much should have just kept their paycheck that comes every other Friday. How's that for irritational, Andy?
Well, yeah, but what's done is done. You know, you can't unring a bell, right?
So here's the deal. So I'll answer your question. But I would like for people to do some of the things that I've just talked about in retrospect. What are you doing? What have you read? How much knowledge do you have? How much market analysis? What's the competitive marketplace out there? Do all of those things I've just talked about. And I talk about this a lot in my new book, What's Wrong with Damn Near Everything. One of the things that's wrong with damn near everything is that we've got too many motivational bozos out there and people who call themselves thought leaders, which is even a dumber term. Because most of those thought leaders never had an original thought in their whole life. I'm a thought follower. I read everything I can get my hands on, listen to everybody I can listen to, so I can follow their thoughts, digest their thoughts, analyze their thoughts, and see what works for me and take action on those thoughts. But I'm not a thought leader. But we listen to these people telling everybody, just go be your own boss. The last thing you will ever be when you're an entrepreneur is your own boss. But if the damage is done, and you say you love this so much that you want to do that, go back and do the things I've just talked about to make sure that you understand what it really takes to be successful in business. Then do this. Ask yourself why you're in business. This is why people get stuck. Why are you in business? If passion brought you in, passion is a fleeting emotion. And so the reason you're stuck is that fleeting emotion that inspired you to start your business to begin with has waned. And now you're stuck. Well, it's because you never should have let an emotion drive your business to begin with. Or you had a love for your product or service. Well, anytime that you base your business on any kind of emotion, love, passion, desire, any of those things, it's going to wane. I'm in business for one reason and one reason only, and that's to be profitable. So that's what you need to remind yourself of. Your business exists for one reason and one reason only, and that's to make money. How do you make money? By serving people well. How do you serve them well? You offer a solution to the problems and the pains they are experiencing. 70% of all buying decisions are made from buying a solution to pain, solving a problem. Only 30% of buying decisions are made to gain something. So what business solution do you have that solves people's problems? And remember, when you get good at that, that's where you will increase your profitability, and that's when you'll stop being unstuck.
Okay, great. Now, you touched on your new book, What's Wrong with Damn Near Everything. What is wrong with Damn Near Everything? Because I was reading the brief write-up. I was on Amazon checking it out, and
you should have bought the book, Andy.
Oh, believe me, I'm going to as soon as I hang up. But you really tap into a lot of things going on in the world right now with this book, and I'm dying to hear, you know, what are some of the problems? Because I want you to kind of go off here, because I'm really curious, because I have my own ideas about it. But, you know, I think everybody does. But we live in this, you know, instant gratification age of social media, and it just seems like everyone has an opinion, and we get our you know, our news from so many different sources. We don't know what to believe, and it's a mess.
Well, the reason, those are all symptoms, in my opinion, and certainly those are problems, but those are symptoms of the core problem. When I've written six bestsellers before I wrote this book, and every one of my bestsellers is focused on attacking people's actions. And I believe if you want to change results, you change actions. But what none of those books really spent a whole lot of time doing was I looked around and I said, you know, if I talk about leadership, or if I talk about personal finance or parenting, and I've written best-selling books in all of those areas and all areas of personal development, I've attacked all those kind of things, and I'm just one of the tens of thousands of people who teach about that, talk about that, write about that, why aren't things better? If we have all the solutions to what you should do differently, why aren't things better? Well, yeah, you can change people's results by changing their actions, but those actions don't change for very long. Why is that? Because we haven't addressed the real problem, and that's that actions are the result of who you really are, what you really believe, what your core values are. So I believe the destruction of America, and that's what comes into the from the subtitle of my book, is What's Wrong with Damn Near Everything, How the Collapse of Core Values is Destroying Society and How to Fix It.
Oh, good. So, good, because I want to get into that.
What the real problem is that our core values have collapsed. Honesty, integrity, work ethic, self-reliance, doing the right thing, treating people right, gratitude, on down the list. Those are core values, and those respect. We've lost all of those things. And our actions, you brought up social media and all of that. Yeah, but that's all a result of the collapse of core values. So I went deeper this time into what really is the problem.
Okay, so it's all about core values. So if you have, if you've lost sight of that, how do you reclaim it? I mean, what, you know, I guess it's just all up to us as individuals, right?
Well, one of the saddest questions I got recently, I was in New York City and I was doing interviews about the book and with Brian Kilmeade, and he said, so how do we fix things? I said, we don't. You can't fix the world. You can't fix society. You can't fix government. You can't fix what's going wrong in our school systems, on our college campuses. We can't fix the way people handle it. We can't. We can't fix any of it. We're doomed. And I said, here's all we can fix. We can only fix what we do individually. I can only fix me. And we have too many people focusing on fixing the world. And you can't fix the NFL. You can't fix what's going wrong in government. You can't fix what's going wrong on college campuses. You can only fix what you do in your own personal life with your own family, maybe with your own family. You can only fix you. But if we want to change things, we have to change us. And if enough of us individually changed the way we did things and got back to the right set of core values, then collectively it would have an impact. But we've got to, first of all, take responsibility for who we are, admit that we have issues with our core values, start to build on the core values that we recognize are important. And those would be honesty. And yet, just start with honesty. Think of how dishonest we have become as a society. Everybody wants their kids to be honest. If they lie to you, you will punish them severely. I hope you will. So we tell our kids that we want them to be honest and that they should never lie. And yet 25% of Americans cheat on their taxes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Seems a little hypocritical,
yes.
Doesn't it? Okay. And so we say that we should respect people's opinions. And then we go on social media and on the internet and we say the worst stuff to people that we would never consider saying to their face. It's totally disrespectful, vitriolic, hate mail that we send people. I get them every day. I get death threats over things that I say about raising your kids and spending less than you earn. And we talk about it's horrible. And look at our last election, 2016. Have you ever seen so much hate mongering in your whole life from one side to the other side? No. And if we really valued honesty and integrity, would we have had either one of those candidates? No, we wouldn't have.
Right.
And this is not a political discussion. It's a discussion about who we are and what we have become, that we've manifested all of this stupidity that goes on in every area of life and business. You know, we tell people you should be responsible. We don't believe that for a minute. Because would responsible people spend more money than they make? No. I mean, that didn't even make sense. Yet 46% of Americans do. So we have a huge collapse of core values in our society, and that's what we have to go back and regain.
It's almost like online road rage, you know? People.
Well, that part of it is, yeah.
You know, I mean, people feel like they can say whatever they want because there's no recourse. There's
no accountability.
Right.
People, I told a guy the other day, if you'd have said what you just said to me online in my face, I'd have knocked you on your butt.
There
he you said, you would have resorted to violence? Absolutely, I would have. After I knocked you on your butt, you wouldn't have said that to me again.
So what do you see down the road? Do you see it getting better or worse?
No, I see it getting worse.
Man.
There are very few consequences for poor behavior these days.
It's true.
And that's the problem. It's just like I just talked about. And you'll get emails and so will I because I just said I've knocked somebody on their butt. And I did when I said that online. But, you know, still, that's a consequence. When there is a consequences drive behavior, Andy. Consequences drive all behavior. When you remove the consequences, society goes crazy. People run amok. People will do whatever they can get by with. It's human nature. When we stop letting people buy with things, they will stop doing things. But we've removed the limits. We don't want people. People believe they can do whatever they want to do, and they get to do that. I mean, I just saw a news story just 5 minutes ago about how there's a movement now to reduce the criminal punishment, the consequences for what people consider to be low-level crimes. Let me see, if we remove all punishment for low-level crimes, what's going to happen to low-level crime? I'm just betting it'll go up, don't you?
Sure, yeah.
Well, sure. If I say, hey, I'm not going to do anything to you if you do that, well, then chances are you're going to do that. Consequences. Larry, we have to get back to consequences.
Larry, what happened? I mean, did you have some epiphany over the years that led you to write all these books? Or you know, how did you kind of, what happened? I mean, or did anything happen? Or were you just born this way? Or
I was raised this way. I was raised dirt poor and in a Pentecostal holiness church of hellfire and brimstone.
Oh, okay.
And while I'm not that way at all anymore, I really did grow up to believe that it was either right or wrong, good or bad, hello or goodbye, heaven or hell, either in the way or on the way, black or white, there's no gray. And I really do believe that, that we have surrounded ourselves and created a society that lives in the gray. Well, that's not really that wrong. Or in this situation, we have situational ethics. We have situational core values, conditional core values. If it serves me well, then it's not a problem. I can lie if it serves me well. That's how people believe. And so my epiphany, and the reason I write the books, is I look around, and really it's happened this way with every single one of my books. I look around at what's going on in the world. And if something really pisses me off, I'll write about it. I looked at my first book, Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life. I wrote that book. That's a straight-up personal development book. I went to number one on the bestseller list. It has a great title. I write great titles. I write good books, but I write great titles.
Yeah,
but Shut Up,
yeah,
Stop Whining, and Get a Life, I took on the self-help industry in that book because I was a part of the self-help industry, and I said, nobody's getting any help. And it wouldn't do anybody any good. And telling people just have a positive attitude is stupid. You ought to get a negative attitude. And I really believe that a negative attitude will serve you better than a positive attitude, because you can't create positive results in your life until you first get negative about your life. And to tell yourself every single day, I'm wonderful and I'm terrific and I'm special and I don't have problems, I only have opportunities. That's stupid. And I consider that to be self-abuse. Until you say, I'm an idiot, I'm messing up, I gotta quit doing this, I can't eat like a pig all day long and expect to live long and take care of my kids and be healthy, I can't spend all the money that I've got and expect to take care of myself as I in my retiring years, I can't do that, I've got to change, I've got to get negative in order to create positive. So that book was some straight talk, flying in the face of everything we were being told by all the motivational bozos who are out there around relationships, money, parenting, everything.
Yeah.
Then I wrote a book about business. It's called Work for a Reason. And that was what I saw going wrong in business education that was going on in the world today. And I gave some folks some straight talk about that. Then I wrote People Are Idiots and I Can Prove It. That's the easiest book I ever wrote. I mean, really, you want to prove people are stupid? That takes about 30 seconds. Anybody could write that book. People Are Idiots and I Can Prove It. And then I did Your Kids Are Your Own Fault. That's my most important book because I realized that we could fix almost every problem in the world if we just were good parents and taught our kids what it took to be successful and held them accountable and showed them the benefits of being a responsible person, and productive and so forth, and cut back on entitlements and all those things. And then I wrote You're Broke Because You Want to Be, because I looked around at all the people who were broke and realized that was their purposeful decision to be broke. Nobody made them overspend. Nobody made them not save. They did that on their own. Nobody made them buy more house than they could afford and spend more money they could afford to spend. They did those things. So that was a personal responsibility book around your money. And then Grow a Pair, because we become a nation of weenies and wimps, and we need to know what we stand for and believe in and fight for those things that are right in our own lives and stand up for them and speak up for them. And then the new one, What's Wrong with Damn Near Everything. So I look at what's going wrong and retaliate against those things that I see going wrong.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, Your Kids Are Your Own Fault. That's my favorite book.
Yeah.
It's my most important book, because I think if we can just change the way we are parenting our kids, to teach them to be responsible, teach them about money, teach them not to believe they deserve anything, teach them they aren't special, that they're always going to be judged on contribution, and teach them how to add value to the lives of others, then we can turn things around.
You know, one of the things I really like about you, Larry, is that it seems like with all the different complicated things that people are coming out with for personal and professional development, you kind of whittle it down to more of a grassroots, more simplistic, like just get to work, just be a better person, right?
Yep. Yep, and I do believe that that's one of the problems, is people have made the solution so complicated. Then when people are trying out those complicated solutions, they give up and they quit. And they say, and then they use that as an excuse. Well, I can't do that. Look at how hard it is. And so I try to make it so simple that it's just dumb. I mean, really, I have a high duh factor in everything that I present to people. I want people to listen to what I have to say and go, well, duh. Well, yeah, well, duh. Why don't you do it? When I can make it that simple, I can remove most people's excuses. There's no longer an excuse of anybody saying, well, I can't do that, it's too hard. No, it's not. Don't spend more money than you earn. duh. really? Eat less, exercise more. Duh.
Well, you know.
I look at everything that I've done, Andy, in 30 years of being in the self-help industry. Everything that I've done. And I can drive it down to the oldest joke in the world. Guy goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, what's wrong? The guy says, it hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, well, then don't do that. That's my philosophy to help.
Well, you know, so a lot of that stuff takes self-discipline, which I think that has kind of waned over the years, right?
And I think it, yeah, self-discipline is obviously important, but I'm going to take it back to consequences. What happens if I don't? The most valuable quote I ever heard in my own life was by the guy who I consider truly my mentor, was Jim Rohn. Rohn's quote was, and I love Jim Rohn. I've listened to everything that he's ever done, read everything that he ever wrote. He was truly an inspiration to me. He really taught me to speak about principles. Amazing talent. The most important speaker of our time, I believe. However, he had a quote. And the quote was, what is easy to do is just as easy not to do. And to me, that's really profound. What is easy to do is just as easy not to do. Everything I talk about is really easy to do, but you know, it's just as easy not to do those things. And the reason it's just as easy not to do them is there's no consequence for not doing them.
You know, one of my favorite quotes of all time is by Jim Rohn, and that is, success is attracted by the person you become.
Yep.
So, you know, you change the things that... And actually, that really kind of come full circle back to my first question, which was about stuck entrepreneurs. And most of them, I think, if they were to develop that kind of mindset, you know, where you just take action, right? I mean, if they just do something, some revenue-generating activity, I think things would probably fall into place.
Well, your actions are the result of who you are. And Rohn's quote about that you attract the success based on who you become is really what my core values issues are about. That if you become a person of honesty and integrity and have core values of doing the right things and gratitude and serving and have a work ethic and self-reliance, if that's who you are, your actions will then reflect who you are, and those actions will create better results. The trouble is most teaching, most help that people talk about is all around let's change actions. And that is short-lived, because actions that are in conflict with your core values or your beliefs or the kind of person you are can't last very long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So people are taking action, but they're going in the wrong direction, right?
Yeah, action alone won't do it. You can take the wrong action.
Right.
It's like people... Look at all these idiots. Look at all the memes that you see posted every single day and all these idiots that say, never quit, never give up. Dumbest advice in the whole world. We give Winston Churchill for his famous 7-word speech, never give up, never, never give up. Oh, my God, that's the dumbest advice in the whole world. If you're doing the wrong thing, give up. You go in the wrong direction, it's never going to get you where you want to go. Give up on that idea. Try something new. If you're doing something stupid, how about this idea? Quit.
Even armies retreat, right?
Exactly. And so we listen to all these people, and I watch these ignorant memes by these motivational bozos that say, if you want to be more successful, never quit. Darn, is that a good idea? Just never quit. We ought to quit most of what we're doing. You know, really, success is so simple. Find out what works, do more of it. Find out what doesn't work, and don't do it anymore. It's really that simple.
Well,
we all know what those things are, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's not rocket science. So,
nope.
So your new book, the book, I think it came out in July, What's Wrong with Damn Near Everything, it's available on Amazon as well as all your other books, right?
Everything's available on Amazon. You can get autographed copies by going to my website, LarryWingate.com. You can get a whole library from Larry where I discount them and sign them and send them to you. And there you go. There's also a whole lot of free stuff on my website, LarryWingate.com. People can download. So if you're interested in that,
and
easy to find.
They can. You still do coaching, right?
I do. I do personal coaching for businesses and people's personal lives. I've done a couple of coaching calls already this morning. I do a thing called a Year of Larry where people can come to me and learn from me and one-on-one. And I do coaching and speaking and writing, and I've got video series out there. Shoot, no matter how you want to learn, you can do it from me.
So anything.
So if people are ready for that cold, hard, ugly truth about what they can do to be more successful, I'm the guy.
Cool. So what's in the hopper? What's going on for 2018 with you?
Less.
Yeah?
Listen, I traveled over 250 days a year for 25 years.
Oh, man.
250 days a year for 25 years. You know what that'll do for you? It'll make you real tired of getting on airplanes. So my goals for 2018, get on fewer airplanes, spend more time in my office with people who want to come to me, talk to me on the phone, spend time with me on personal coaching, things that keep me off airplanes. That's my goal. I'm already working on a new book, so that'll be out. I'll be writing that in 2018, probably get it to the publisher at the end of next year. So we're about a year, 18 months away from a new book coming out. I got a lot of other stuff going on, too.
You're probably not the type of guy that gets writer's block, right?
Oh, I write when the mood hits me. I don't have that regimen where I wake up in the morning and from 7 to 8, I write. I don't do any of that. If I can put a couple of hundred words on paper every single day and then the next day go back and dump half those words, it's been a good couple of days.
That's great, because, you know, as a writer myself, I admire, you know, your ability to get these books out and make them bestsellers, and the message you put out there is really inspiring. So, you know,
thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. And thanks for joining us here, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Well, I had a good time, and I know I got on a rant there, and several
good.
Of them, and I you welcomed me to do that, and that's what we did, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Audio Motivation. Join us in our membership community for even more in-depth interviews, transcripts, and bonus gifts, all designed to keep you motivated and inspired.